Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wentz comes back to Ajayi again. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. At the 20. At the 15. 10, 5. He dives. And he is in for the touchdown. His first touchdown as an Eagle. A 46-yard explosion by Jay Ajayi.
Eagles radio with the call. And this is what really, really good or maybe great teams do. They handle business, even though they weren't supposed to put up 50 on Denver. 51-23, the Eagles are now 8-1. Tomorrow we will talk about Tamba Ali saying after the game that the Cowboys are still the best team in the NFL. Not Philly, and the Chiefs have played Philly, that it's the Cowboys, whether you're buying or selling that. But 51-23, Philly, and Jesse Holly is in studio, Mr. Fourth and Long, who helps train a lot of these players. And you helped train Jay Ajayi, because I remember you talking about him when he was being drafted. He had the long run of 46 yards, 8 carries, 77 yards, and we haven't talked to you about the addition of Ajayi. What do you think it's going to do for Filthy?
I think it adds another quality player. Even with LeGarrette Blount as their running back, I don't think LeGarrette has the explosion that Jay Ajayi has. And you watched him last year where he ran off about two or three games where he had 200 yards rushing. Like, that doesn't happen if you don't have the explosion. I think he gives them another dynamic in that backfield where you can have Blount maybe for the short yardage, tough yards, some goal line stuff, but you got a back in Jay Ajayi who you can give him the ball. And like you saw yesterday, you know, burst on the scene for a 46-yard touchdown. And I think that was the element that they were missing when they lost Darren Sproles. Not just when I say that, when they lost Darren Sproles, it's that one small back or that one back that can take the ball the distance on any given play.
As a former wideout, do you think A.J. Green was right or wrong with what happened with Jalen Ramsey?
Listen, I think anytime you see a receiver in this day and time be physical at any point in time, I'm for it. Like, they're frustrated in Cincinnati.
But like, getting tossed.
They're frustrated in Cincinnati. Like, when you come on to the field and your team's not playing well and it's been that way for a while and you're on the inside and you probably see that there's no hope in sight.
Same thing with Tampa and Mike Evans and Jameis.
Yeah, and sometimes you just get so frustrated with everything going on, and there might have been some dirty play with he and Ramsey, but that just spills over, right? Because AJ's been around for a long time, and he's never been one guy who's been a physical guy, an angry guy. He's always been a quiet, docile kind of guy and just plays the game. But what happened yesterday, like, I believe that it might have been some stuff on the field, but that's a 100% spillover from all the frustration that he's probably dealing with in the locker room with that team and the way their season is going.
How's Ramsey get tossed?
But I know. And Mike Evans doesn't get tossed. But you know what, though? I look at it kind of opposite. I'm like, I'm impressed with Jalen Ramsey.
Sure.
That he, even if he was playing dirty, I'm like, he is not afraid. He is not backing down. He'd go after one of the greats and then try to find him in the locker room afterwards where they had to get the police to escort him away. That shows me a dog right there.
Yeah, but that's the mentality that Jaguar team is kind of, you know, having. We killed Tom Coughlin a little bit when he was in New York, but that's who Tom Coughlin is. Tom Coughlin is a hard-nosed coach who wants that physicality, who wants that physicalness, who wants that aggressive, that violence on his defense. And that's the only way you can change the culture of a team is you got to go 100% opposite of what they were and make the players believe. And I think that's what they're starting to believe now when you add guys like Calais Campbell. When you add guys like Barry Church, you're now bringing different mentalities and cultures, and now you add that to what Tom Coughlin is, and now you see this thing is becoming a physical defense in Jacksonville, and that's something that all the guys are encompassing and embodying and saying, you're not going to come on the field, at least when you play us defensively, and think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Man, their team, Debo. They suspend or inactivate Leonard Fournette.
Inactivate.
Is that a word?
Deactivate.
Whatever. Howard to Tennessee. Okay.
5 years.
We use different words there. So they deactivate Leonard Fournette because he misses a team photo. What is the message that sends to the team that they take their best player, offensively at least, say, you know what? You're out. You're out because you missed a team photo. Like, the message that sends to the locker room is what?
You're changing the culture. This is all Tom Coughlin. Remember, when Tom Coughlin was in New York, his message was, if you aren't 5 minutes, if the meeting started at 8 o'clock, if you weren't in your seat ready to go at 7:55, you're late. Mm-hmm. And the guys are getting fined for that and reprimanded for that. That's how you change a culture. You say, wait a second, I'm going to take the best player on my team. And if you think, because it's the little things, like that's the big, like the bigger things come from you correcting the smaller things. And when you come into a culture with what they probably had in Jacksonville of constantly losing, maybe a little bit disorientated, maybe a little bit undisciplined, when you come into that and to change that, you have to be a man of your word on everything. Because what happens is if you start letting little things slide for your best players and all that kind of stuff, now it becomes a trickle-down effect for everyone else. So Tom Coughlin says, oh, you think you don't have to come to a team photo? Are you not a part of this team? So if you can't come to the team photo on time to be a part of this team, then that tells me that maybe you don't want to play with this team on Sunday. And it echoes throughout the locker room that, listen, things are changing around here. This ain't the old Jacksonville. It ain't the old way we run things. And if he's going to deactivate Leonard Fournette for missing a team photo, then, hey, everybody that falls under Leonard Fournette as far as stature and playmaking ability,
which is probably everyone,
get your stuff together.
Except for maybe Jalen.
Jesse Holly in studio. We'll get to the Cowboys star up, star down coming up next. Who's the team in the league we're not talking about enough?
The Saints.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints. 6-game winning streak, and they're doing it defensively. I heard Roy run off a stat and said he only had one 300-yard game in his 6-game winning streak.
Breeze.
And you remember that in order for the Saints to win back in the day, he had to throw for 300. He had to throw for 4 touchdowns. But now they're doing things. They got Kamara, the running back who's running well and being a playmaker. Shout out to Tennessee.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
But the defense, finally Sean Payton has a defense that's playing a respectable style of football and saying, hey, Drew, I know you're getting a little up there in age. I know your arm may not be where it used to be. Don't worry. You don't have to score 44 points. You don't have to throw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. Just don't lose us the game, and we'll help you out. And we're not talking enough about the New Orleans Saints and the way that they've quietly, subtly just put 6 games together and are really peaking at the right time.
Jesse Holly in studio for the Cowboy Hour. That's going to start with your star up, star down, your review of the win of the year 28-17 over the Chiefs. We'll talk Dez. We'll talk Terrence. We'll talk about the Hail Mary, all of it on a Cowboys Monday with Holly in studio next.
A lot of time. He's flushed out right with a lot of room to run, but he throws on the run. He's got a man all over the right sideline car. Down to the 20. Makes a move to the left. Down to the 10-yard line. It is Terrence Williams. Oh, he was so alone. He was so alone.
Where did that come from? It's a Cowboys Monday. Great way to start the week. Thanks for tuning in to Sean and RJ along with Jesse Holly in studio after the 28-17 win. Jess, we knew Jason Garrett wasn't going to go there when he joined us at 8:30. But are there such things as statement wins in that locker room, believing in yourself differently? And do you think yesterday qualifies?
I think the answer to that question happened last night in the postgame in a postgame with Jason Garrett. He was up there for at least 15 minutes. He was happy. He was answering a bunch of questions. And it had a different feel than any other Jason Garrett press conference that he had all year long. And like I was just like we're watching the clock, like, man, he's still up there. To the point where Rich Dalrymple, now normally.
PR guy.
Rich Dalrymple, the PR guy. When he's in these post-game interviews, when Rich Dalrymple stands up, it's almost a sign that says, we're done. Let's go.
Yeah.
Rip Dalrymple stood up and was standing and was to the point that Rich Dalrymple turned to the glass. There's a glass separates the post-game interview area and when we're at the Miller Lite Club. Rip Dalrymple turns to us, myself, Gavin, Tim Collins, and
Tim Collins.
He's looking at me and I'm looking at him and he's like telling me like to stop talking. And I'm like, tell your boy, you know what I'm saying? And like he stood there for like another 2 or 3 minutes. And so, yes, to answer your question, yes, these are statement wins. When you go up against a team who you know, and it's different when you know where they're good at and where you lack at, and you dominate that area. We all knew what Kansas City was offensively. All the numbers said it. All the everything they did, the explosive plays, the yards per game, the rushing, the receiving, Alex Smith taking care of the football. They were top 15. They were top 11 in almost every statistical category offensively in the league. Top three in passing yards, rushing per game, and total yards per game. And the Cowboys came out and dominated them on defense. Kareem Hunt only had, 39 yards rushing?
37.
37 yards rushing. You kept Kelce from having really huge plays.
How did they do this defensively?
Physical. Physicalness. They were physical.
Was it just a good matchup for them,
though?
They
were physical.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were physical. They lined up where they were supposed to line up. They didn't overcompensate for anything. Guys were assignment alignment sound this entire football game. They were physical. They got 11 guys to the football. They tackled with violence. And that's sometimes how you have to do these things. You stop Kareem Hunt by not giving him gaps. You stop Kareem Hunt by not missing assignments and not overrunning things. And you saw there was plays where Sean Lee, who a lot of times you can't even quantify the stuff that he does on the field. But there were one play, they threw a screen play to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had two blockers out in front of him. Sean Lee beats the two blockers and makes a tackle for a very minimal gain. If that's not Sean Lee, if that's any other player, that might be a 40 to 50 yard gain, possibly even a touchdown. Mm. A big play diverted because of guys like Sean Lee and his ability to decipher a play, attack it, and make the tackle. They tackled well yesterday. They were physical, and they were violent 11 guys to the football.
Terrence Williams with 9 for 141.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
You know what? He had to have a game like that today. When you look at what they had as far as, Marcus Peters, right? He's the shutdown corner they have. And so a lot of times opposite Marcus Peters, there aren't much of a standard. It's just another Jag. Right. It's a Jag out there, right? And so you knew that he was going to be locked up on Dez sometimes. You know, he didn't travel, but when there's times to make plays, and they were doubling Dez, when it was time to make plays, you got to make plays. And Terrence Williams stepped up in this game and made the necessary plays that they needed. They needed Terrence Williams to make those plays in that game. They needed any guy, but they needed Terrence Williams to make the plays in the game, and they needed Cole Beasley to do what he did because he's been on a milk carton for the last couple of weeks.
Is he back as a threat, Cole?
I don't think he's ever left as a threat. That's why he hasn't been a threat, because teams look at him as a threat and has been taking him out of the equation with doubling him and slicing him and stuff like that. So they know that Dak likes to go to him on third downs.
But why – this is what frustrates me about Terrence. Why can I give you the receptions in these games and then we get to yesterday? 4, 3, 4, 2, 0, 2, 9.
Yeah.
Why can't I get 5, 6, 7 every week?
That's the frustration of Terrence.
Or is the Chiefs defense that bad?
No, that's the frustration that we all have with Terrence Williams. That's why we get on him so much. We go, we see these flashes and we go, my goodness, be this all the time.
But if he was that, he'd be a number one.
Not 141 yards. I mean, that's even number ones aren't put up 141 yards a week.
6, 7 every week.
But, you know, be a five, six catch guy, a 60, 70 yard guy week in and week out. Don't disappear on us. Don't have lackluster performances, because again, quarterbacks like to throw to open receivers. And when Dak watches film and coaches watches film, the guys that are open on film, trust and believe you me, they get that second and third look in the game. And so for Terrence, and he's having a pretty good year. But you just want to see what you saw yesterday. Not the 141, but just the playmaking ability on a more consistent basis.
Jesse Holly in studio. Mr. Fourth and Long on Twitter. Cowboys pregame, postgame analyst right here on The Fan. How bad did the injuries look? How serious do you think it will be, Jesse, for Terrence and for Dez?
Well, I think the biggest one that I'm concerned about is Tyron. The groin, because when you look at what Tyron has to do with that, you know, that kick push, and then absorb another 280-pound guy coming at you. And for offensive linemen, it's hands and it's a base. And if your base is weak, then now you're susceptible to all type of speed move, counter moves, power moves. And for Tyron, I think him not being able to play or not being able to play at 100% in addition to what he's doing with the back, I think now that has a ripple effect. Jonathan Cooper's been playing really well. Well, why has he been playing really well? Well, he's been sandwiched in between two all-pro players. Now you remove an all-pro player and you insert another guy like maybe Byron Bell, And now that sandwich is a little bit weaker on one side. And now that chain, the links in the chain get a little bit weaker. That hurts the running game. That hurts the passing game. So to me, I think Tyron's the most important piece. And then when you look at with Dez, if that's a high ankle sprain, sometimes depending on how severe it is, that's like a 3-week situation. Like high ankle sprains are like 3-week situations sometimes. You're better off sometimes like breaking an ankle or something like
for
that
sure.
than having a severely injured, you know, high ankle sprain. And we'll see what it is today. But I don't want to go to Atlanta without Dez, without Terrence, without potentially Zeke. We'll hear about that Tuesday. And Tyron, either with the bad groin or not playing at all.
Are you scared of Atlanta? I don't know what to make of it.
I'm not scared of Atlanta. I respect Atlanta. Not afraid of Atlanta. And you just don't know what Atlanta – like, Atlanta's that wounded animal that you don't know what you're going to get. Are they going to just crawl into a corner and let you just beat up on them? Or are they going to just scrap because they're afraid? And it's going to be at home, and everyone gets up for the Cowboys. I can't stress that enough. Everyone gets up and wants to play their best game against the Cowboys. So I'm not afraid of Atlanta. I don't really know what Atlanta is this year. They haven't shown themselves. But I'm confident in this Cowboy team. That win yesterday got me back, got my confidence meter back for the Cowboys high.
Do you think they win that game yesterday without Zeke?
No, I don't. I think the big plays may not have been there. It's the small things. It's the little things that Zeke does that a carry that it might have been a one-yard loss was a four-yard gain. A block here, a block there. He had the one play in the fourth quarter where
– his longest run was only 11 yesterday. 27 for 93.
Eating up a lot of yards, man.
It was eating up a lot of yards.
And that type of performance that Zeke had yesterday, it wasn't wow, eye-popping Zeke performance. What it was a bevy of body blows over and over and over again so that when you get late into a football game, they're just worn out. They're just worn out and beat down. And the play that he made that took off in an additional 35 seconds that most people got missed, he almost got tackled, and if he goes down, right, they stop the clock before the two-minute drill, right? But he stays up. He fights and fights and stays up and gains about like 2.5-3 more yards. But a play like that went from if he falls down and gets tackled, they bang a timeout, they stop the clock, and they still have the two-minute warning.
Yeah.
But he stays up, and now when he actually stopped and fell, it was under the two-minute mark, so they lost that opportunity to stop the clock, which ran off so much more time for the Chiefs.
Jesse Holly in studio on a Cowboys Monday, brought to you by Albertsons on 105.3 The Fan. Now is when I get to sit back. It usually happens every Monday.
And watch crotch first?
Oh, you're going to cut. No, this ain't Jimmy G yet. Oh, okay. If Jimmy G gets dealt, I will cook you another piece of barbecue.
Yeah. Because look at that. Jesse's just waving that thing right there.
Hey, this is about put that thing on the table. I just wiped it down.
Is there a helicopter in here? Yeah.
This is Jesse and Romo versus RJ and Dez. When Dez was asked yesterday, was the son a factor for you guys dropping balls?
Yes, it's a big problem, you know, since being here. I remember we played the Giants last year. I had a fade ball. I couldn't see it at all. Like, I just put my hands up and got hit. Like, damn.
Now, Romo on the broadcast kind of had Holly's back, saying, you know, it happens every once in a while, but it also happens in other stadiums. It's not that big of a deal. And when we were talking about this earlier, Bryce Butler has chimed in, texting Troy back and forth this morning.
Yeah, there were some rumors that Butler actually went to Stephen Jones about the sun issue yesterday. So I texted Bryce this morning. He said, yeah, I mentioned it to him while walking into the locker room. He ain't really saying much. This stadium isn't new. Been like that for years. Don't see them changing it, but it's hard though, man. First time I get the ball and it gets in my eyes. I was pissed. I was so wide open. Got to figure out a way to make it happen next time.
All right, Chop, you get first crack.
I could give Jesse the floor. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just gonna wipe it with him anyway. Look, it does. It may not be the effect may be overstated. Fine, but for Tony to come out here and say it happens elsewhere is, I don't want to call Tony a liar, but I'm gonna call Tony a liar because it doesn't. There's only one other stadium that's east west, and that's the LA Coliseum, which is 100 years old. They're not gonna use it in 2 years. If you want to argue that Buffalo is kind of sort of east-west, there's no sun in Buffalo. They haven't had sun in Buffalo since like the third ice age. So it's not, it doesn't happen anywhere else. Why is it, like, why are we so hard-headed that we can't put a curtain up. Like, just throw the curtain there. It's not that big of a deal, right? Why is there are two things that should never be an issue on any professional sports field. One is the conditions of the field, and two is this phenomenon known as the sun. Like, that should never, like, could you imagine a baseball stadium built with the setting sun in center field? Like, could you think, like, what? Do you know why they don't build stadiums with the setting sun in center field in Major League Baseball? Because you couldn't see the ball pitched. Why is this a hard thing to figure out? Just put the curtain up. Right?
I guess. I mean, here's my thing.
Is it a big deal, Jesse?
To me, no.
I mean, it may not be a big deal on the field, but like if it affects one play, that's too many, right?
I think, and to have Tony's back, he's talking about the elements of the game.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there's a reason why certain Lambeau, it will never put a roof on,
mm-hmm.
right? There's certain reasons why certain places are the way they are because it gives you a distinct advantage. Dez Bryant has played in this stadium for 8 years. This sun issue ain't new. Bryce Butler's been here for 3-4 years. This sun issue ain't new.
It's not new, but is it a problem?
No, to me, it shouldn't be a problem. If you know it's there, prepare yourself to play in this type of situation. And I'm leaning on the side of we're professionals. We're professionals. And so if you can't go out there and make the necessary plays in the elements, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that it's not an issue
mm-hmm.
or it's not a problem. But we're all professionals here.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
And so I don't think it's that big of an issue, because if he catches it, then he doesn't say anything about the sun, right? The ball hit Bryce in both hands. Like,
yeah.
Both hands. Wait, like, both hands. You, as a receiver, you got to be like a Venus flytrap.
But there is a point there, where the ball crosses the sun. You do
it
lose
does.
It.
It does.
You do lose it.
Right.
And I just, look, that's just, it's just something that to me, and I get it, it's probably not as, they are professionals. It's probably not as big of a deal as we're making out to be, but I just don't think it should ever come into play.
Okay.
Right? Like, especially in a dome.
If they lose a game because Witten loses the ball in the sun or Bryce
may change
or Dez,
it.
We're going to freak out.
They may change it
right,
then.
Right now, it seems like they're playing. What, Roy?
I mean, haven't they lost? Didn't we remember the Miles Austin game?
That was couple,
that was light.
That was
light. That was light. So now we want to turn the lights out?
That was at night.
Playing the dark?
Yeah, I was at that game.
Is that's what I'm saying.
No, it's I like, know. The lights.
The lights. What do you want? Baseball players, they do the same. They look up in the sun. You got to make the catch.
I know. I understand that. And baseball players will lose the ball in the sun too.
Yeah. So what do you want? Austin lost the ball in the lights. No more lights.
But turn the lights off.
Turn the lights off.
But
we'll play
do
the
you
dark.
Think the sun at AT&T coming through like that is a worse sun than other stadiums go to?
I think it's because, like, I'm not smart enough to even know this, but maybe when it hits the window,
it might.
Or changes the trajectory of it. I don't know.
It might.
Please
yeah.
don't hold me to that. I'm not smart enough to even know that, but maybe when it hits that, but, and here's, Jerry's not going to put the curtain up.
He will if Dan Bailey misses one where he's blinded.
But what happens, because it looks good. It looks good for the aesthetics of the stadium.
Mm.
If you're panning through the stadium, right, and there's dark, it's 3 o'clock, and one end is dark, the other end is dark, and you have the other lights, it looks bad. It looks ugly.
No, I know. It has an open air feeling of being in a dome. I get that.
Tint the windows.
Tint them, yeah. I mean, because, you know, right now you've got, like, these random rays of light. I mean, you could probably fry an egg at some point on that field.
Maybe if you opened the stadium, God will shine the sun downward and not that way.
I think Dez dropped one because of it. Bryce dropped one because of it. But they got the W, so we can have fun with it. Wait till it doesn't work out that way and see what happens.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.